Good morning. What a blessing it is to be back into the house of the Lord just one more time. We welcome you to Nation Harvest Church Ministries, a near and afar, our online streaming family, our family that's present. We welcome you in the name of Jesus this morning. We pray that all is well. We ask that you prepare your hearts and mind for what God has in store for us today. As our bishop has been away, he comes back fully loaded and locked to give us a word from the Lord. And we thank God for that. We thank God for him being able to go away and to restore himself in the time that he has spent away with family, celebrating birthdays and milestones. So we are excited about what God has in store for us. And as I'm gonna just do a simple scripture and a prayer for you this morning. And my scripture reading this morning is from Romans 8 and 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And I chose that scripture this morning because it says, and it's a very popular scripture, and it says that all things work good for those that love the Lord. So I say, if it's bad right now, the scripture says that it's going to work for your good. So that means that things are not over yet. That means that God is still preparing your way through unto the good. So when you say that scripture from now on, think about even in the bad, that God is going to work it for my good. And I also think on the scripture that we say a lot, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthens me," just not all at one time. You know, so it's good to know the word of God, and it's good to use the word of God with wisdom. Dear Heavenly Father, it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I come before you this morning, Lord God. God, emptying out of me, Lord God, to pour into your people, Lord God. God, we ask that you would bless this service that's before us, Lord God. God, we ask that you would bless the man of God that's going to stand, Lord God. We ask that you would bless the exhorter that's going to stand, Lord God. God, we ask that you bless each person that's going to hear your word, Lord God. We ask that it fall on their hearts, Lord God. God, we ask that they would be doers of your word, Lord God. God, we pray for our nation as a whole this morning, Lord God. God, we pray for those that don't know how to pray for themselves this morning, Lord God. God, we ask that you would heal our land, Lord God. God, we know that there is no God above you, Lord God. We know that you reign, Lord God, high, and you reign low, Lord God. God, we know that you can meet us where we are, Lord God. So this morning, Lord God, we open up our hearts, Lord God, for a word from you, Lord God. God, only a word from you, Lord God, is going to satisfy what we need, Lord God. It's going to satisfy that hunger. It's going to quench that thirst, Lord God, as you are a living word, Lord God, as you are a living food, Lord God, that and a table has already been set before us, Lord God. So, God, we ask that you prepare us, Lord God, to be able to receive, Lord God. God, and as I close, Lord God, we once again, Lord God, we ask that you bless all aspects of this service, Lord God. We come with expectation, Lord God, that you're going to do it like you've done it before. All these blessings I ask in thy son Jesus' name. Amen. And as Brother Eddie prepares himself to come to the altar to give us an exhortation, I know that our hearts will be filled, and God is going to do just what he said he does, and that's to give us the word of God. Brother Eddie.
Right now, true joy does not come from circumstances. It does not come from people, because a lot of times these things are temporary, they can bring you down as well as bring you some joy. You know, when you come across people that's unhappy, in a dark place, they can start losing joy and start blaming others for their unhappiness. The Bible teaches that our joy is not dependent on circumstances. We experience joy that is not dependent, but it comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, when Paul was being so persecuted and chained and imprisoned, they could take everything, but they couldn't take that joy. They were found rejoicing in the cell. That's true joy. Knowing that God is the God of their fathers and is their fathers and our father. You know, some steps that I wrote down that helps. Spend time with the Lord regularly. Remember, He is the Lord over your life. He is your Heavenly Father. Again, do not let circumstances dictate how you feel, because God can carry you through these circumstances, or He'll give you the strength to go through them. He's always there. Stay in the Word of the Bible. Study it. Learn it. You don't have to remember it verse by verse, but you'll be implanting something into your spirit that in a time of need, it'll come up, and you'll remember it to bring you joy. Another thing during the day, you don't have to listen to music, but make joyful hymns in your heart to the Lord. Be conscious of His presence in your life every day. Gives you strength to overcome obstacles, disagreements, help you overcome anger. Because the Holy Spirit was sent to be our comforter. He was sent to bring us joy. He was sent to teach us. Don't let negative thoughts control your mind. Negativity can kill your joy. You know, the Lord kept His promise when He said He'd send the Comforter.
All right.
He kept His promise when He said the Holy Ghost would come upon us and give us boldness to speak, even though we might be persecuted or anything could be going on. He'll give you the joy, the Holy Spirit will, in any situation. But you got to go after it. You can't just expect it to come. You've got to have that relationship with the Lord to learn true joy.
All right.
Joy and happiness are different things. I read the definition of joy and it in the dictionary. It says it's based on circumstances, happenings, new homes, new cars. That stuff's temporary. That don't bring a true joy. Now, we can receive them as blessings from God and joy in the fact that He provides. We're just here worshiping God. I want to read a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to turn it over to our bishop. Go to Galatians 5:22. here's some of the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. That right there ought to give us some joy right there. Be mindful when we respond to others, that we respond in a way that Christ would do. You know, he rebuked people, but he done it out of love. You know, he tore up the tabernacle of the money changers in the church. But there was a reason for it, because that was not the place or the time. And I keep going back to Paul in Corinthians. It says, great is my boldness, and he was writing to the Corinthians, of speech toward you. Great is my glory and for you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. So, what I'm trying to say, it don't matter what you're going through or what you're facing. God is there. He's going to give you the strength to go through it. Or he may take you through it himself. But either way, God gets the glory. And when God gets glory, we get joy. Because it's a two-way thing. If I don't put anything into serving God and doing what I know to do, he can't bless me with joy and with things that beyond material things. We got to have that intimate relationship with the Lord. Know him. Not just up here, but knowing down in our hearts that his Spirit is alive and well inside us. I thank God that he's been showing me, and these more and more and more that you can study on joy. That's just the tip of the iceberg. But I don't like to be one, and I don't like to see Christians that are all caught up in everything and cares of this world that they don't have any joy. We're not about that. We should be about God's business no matter what's going on around us. No matter what's going on in the world. Because God's word never changes. And he's laid it out for us what we're to do. He's set a roadmap. All we got to do is follow it. Just like the GPS in your car, you depend on it to get you to your destination. Sometimes that GPS don't work right. But God does. He'll always bring you to the destination that he's appointed you to arrive at. You might not think it's the right time, but God knows it is the right time. We need to praise him. We need to worship him. We need to welcome his Holy Spirit in and let him have reign over our hearts and lives. And just see what he does. Try him. Try the Lord, for he is good. It's always, he'll never change. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't waver. We're human. We fail, we fall, but that's no reason to stay in it. The Lord is an awesome God. I mean, it wasn't awesome to when the Son sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for us. I just want to thank our bishop for giving me the opportunity to stand before you, because standing up here is an oracle of God. He can use you if you're usable, if you allow Him to use you. But I want to thank everybody for the love that I have felt ever since the first day that I came into this church. The people truly love God. If you don't truly love God, you can't really show love to others. And I guess I've about used up my time. And what I want to say could go on for an hour, but I just want to pray and welcome our Bishop Don Hurt to bring us the true meat of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your joy. We thank you, Lord, for peace that you bring into our hearts and our homes, that you guide us and direct us in the way that we should go and decisions that we should make, whether it be in the natural or spiritual. We need to turn all things over to you, God. Give us the strength, Lord, to do that. Forgive us, Lord, for we fail and come short. And strengthen us in those areas that we're weak. We receive you, dear Holy Spirit, right now in the name of Jesus, for teaching and understanding. And I ask you, Lord, just to watch over those that don't have. Help us to be providers for them, God. Help us to feed the lost, dear Heavenly Father, and share the wonderful word of Jesus Christ. We ask it all in your precious name. Amen. Brother Don.
And they all said amen. And they all said amen. Amen. Slip your hands together and bless God today. That's right. Use the members of your body to offer up praise this morning. I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank Him for all that He has done to make this moment possible. I was listening for my cue, because whenever the exhorters get up, there is something that they will say that will let me know this is the moment. When Eddie said, God is the same, He never changes. He has given the summary of the meat of what I'm about to talk about for the next few minutes. And that is a God who never changes. So I want you to prepare yourself to hear a bit in detail about the God who never changes. Thank you for the cue, Eddie. Only the Holy Spirit can do that.
Only the Holy Spirit.
But that happens each Sunday as I come here, and I come and I bid you welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want you to turn to someone that you're in the room with at home, even though you live with them, may have slept with them, tell them this is the day of the Lord. Tell someone close to you, this is the day of the Lord. Amen. And I've been given the right and the opportunity to rejoice in this day and to know that it is to me as it is with all of life that God gives. Nature around us, God gives us life. And birds sing because they're happy. Flowers blossom because they're happy. Leaves that are in the wind, they wave because they're happy. And that's all they know to do. Endlessly is to continue to absorb the life that God give them and to respond in their sound or in their movement for their appreciation. Life that is in nature doesn't know to be selfish as sometimes we are. All it knows to do is to respond to the blessedness that God has given. And I want you for a moment to know that you are God's living creature. And that you too are an object of praise. Hallelujah. Good morning and welcome. Thank you all for giving us the prayers and the support of being away on last week. I've reached that place where you don't make a big noise over birthdays. But then again, I do. But I had a wonderful time. My family certainly pulled together and gave me a great celebration. I enjoyed myself totally. Thank you so much to my wife that just poured out all to make things happen. Thank you so much. Cassie, thank you, Alina, for sharing your birthday with your dad, the 1st of September and the 6th of September. Thank you guys so much. It's good to share with someone who's 40 years difference in you from me. But we celebrated together. All of the kids were there. God gave a safe passage, made it back home. New things happen. Set new horizons. As I was on my way out this morning, I was reviewing and I had to make some notes to myself about something that I discovered on my way out, and it's actually an addendum, and I'm going to add it to the message this morning in a scripture, and it's from Romans chapter 11. And I think that's where I'm going to start, is in Romans chapter 11. Let me see exactly where we'll go there in Romans chapter 11. And I'm going to read 29. Now, what I'm going to do, as this is kind of just right here, this is one of those things that just happening like right now, okay? And I give myself to the Lord, even though sometimes I'm doing different things with my hands. And I don't know if you can do that. You know, I can be working, but still I can be in deep meditation.
That's right.
I can be talking to you and still be in deep meditation. I don't have to stop what I'm doing to hear from God.
Amen.
God doesn't have to sit and wait till you get finished to start talking. He can talk. And he can cause you to hear even while you're still speaking, so. In Romans chapter 11, let me start there. Verse 27, this is God speaking concerning Israel. He says, "For this is my covenant promise unto them, when I shall take away their sin." As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Now, in all of this process of getting Israel on point, they have been contrary, their sinful proclivity has been much. God says, I'm going to deal with them. But here is what he says in verse number 29. While all of that's going on and you're on the outside looking in, he says, for the gift and the calling of God are without repentance. 27 and 28 verses, he says, I'm going to deal with them. They are to be dealt with. But here is what you need to know. Whatever I gifted them with, whatever I called them to do, I'll never take that back.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Now, Job 13 and 15, and you'll have to get the whole sermon, I guess, to find the full relationship between Romans 11 and Job 13. Job says this, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own way before him. I want to talk to you for a few moments from these two passages. You keep them open, okay? Because I'll be certainly referencing them throughout. My destination remains the same. Say that with me. My destination remains the same. Now, just remind yourself, your journey hasn't been necessarily easy, been turbulent, tumultuous at times. Your journey in life has been sometimes questionable. And when you look back on it, you even look back on your journey with some curiosity yourself, as to say, God, how did I ever make it? Some good, some bad, some indifferent. But I'm here. I also want you, while thinking about your journey, is to think about God's place in your life. And to be perfectly honest, often, his place in your life has been given a back seat to the things that you wanted to do, the accomplishments that you wanted to make, the places that you wanted to go and the things that you want to do. Let's be honest, often your place with God has taken a back seat to that. The reason I give attention to that is because there are some people that have literally stopped as it relates to their relationship with God, because they think that they have put God so far in the background that there's no hope for them and there's no need to continue or to chase after or to pursue some rich relationship with God. Like, I'm just too far. Have you ever talked to someone and you're trying to get through to them, you're trying to encourage them, but for every word of encouragement you give them, they respond to you and rebut with something that is so negative, giving you some reason as to why. I understand what you're saying. That's a good idea, but I got some things that I need to get together, some things that I need to work out. They've pushed themselves they have positioned and postured themselves so far from God. Have you ever talked to anybody like that? I ask a question. Ever talk? You know anybody like that? They just feel like they are just totally isolated from God. Now, I want you to think about what I just told you and listen to what happens. Number one, you got Israel, who God openly tells you that you guys have done some sinful stuff. but I'm going to take away your sins. And as far as who you are to me, which is my beloved, what I have gifted you with, regardless to what you do, I'll never take that back. So you've been some contrary little saints. You've been some God-awful little saints. Ain't gonna take it from me. Job, on the other hand, says, I got some forces that's coming against me so hard. And he says, my enemy is slaying me, slicing me. But through all of that, I'm still going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to believe that just what he said about me, that's what I am. I want you to see the relationship between the two. Israel, because of what they did. Job, because he did nothing. Still, God doesn't change. Now, I grew up in a Baptist church, Strong Hand. And I'm sure either one of two things happened concerning this scripture, if ever it was taught or preached in my upbringing in the church from Romans 11. Either they simply had no knowledge of this passage, or number two, they knew the scripture, but they had no revelation from God, so they went on to establish their own thing. Because I've been taught, if I get out of the ways of God in my ways, in my practices, then there is no way that the call or the gift that God rested upon me remains. It's like, if you sin, you're just damned. Y'all hear me clearly now. And if you ever come up under that teaching, you may still have some of the residuals of that still in you. Like, there's no way that I can still be a child of God and I've committed this or I've done that. There's no way that I could still have the gift of singing and I've did this, or the gift of preaching and I've done that. And to be perfectly honest, I really don't recall very much preaching or teaching regarding the gifts and the calling of God being without repentance. I don't remember a lot about that. Stay close with me. I've heard it as a cliche, the gifts and the callings of God without repentance. But I've never really seen it in effect. For the most part, the scripture has been so mistakenly abused, because whenever anybody is gifted to do a thing, gifted to sing, gifted to preach, gifted to administrate, or etc., and they aren't living right, church folks say, well, he might can preach or she might can sing, but gifts and callings are without repentance. In other words, God uncalled them. Because there's no way that you can still be who you are to God and do what you're doing. I'm laying it out here, you know. And it's true. You don't have to be a repentant to be gifted. But that's not what the text means. That's not what it's saying today. The text is very much more intense. It's more extreme and it's more powerful than to just rest it over in that mediocrity, as though you did that, so no way God has his hands on you anymore. God is not taking the time in the middle of his discussion about Israel and Romans, are y'all hearing me, to stop and say, though they may be talented, they are still sinners. That's not what he's doing. That's not what God is saying. That's not what God is doing in this text. Though they may be sinners, they're still gifted. That's not what he's saying. What God is saying is, I'm going to deal with them. And I'm going to bring them back. And the deliverer is going to come and going to reform them. Because I have some unfinished business with them. He says, and the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. What God means is, if I called you, I'm never going to change my mind. What is God saying? If I called you, I'm never going to change my mind. Now, I need you to make that applicable to yourself. God, if you call me, you're never going to change your mind. God, if you gifted me, you're never going to change your mind. Why? Because what you do cannot change God from being who God is. God says, you can't change me from being who I am. Who do I say it is that sent me? Make it clear to him. I am that I am. What I do, God is saying, is not about you. It's about me. Am I coming through this morning? God says, if I give you my word that I'm going to do something, I'm not going to take my word back. Yeah, just clap your hands right there for a moment. If I gave you a gift, there's nothing that you can do to make me take it back. If I call you to do something, I won't take my calling back. Mm-hmm. Now, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. I might upset you, but as I go through this message, and you may not like me as much when I get finished with it, but I'm not going to let any of you sit back and continue in ignorance. You can't change God. And don't you let anybody try to teach you to make you think that what you do is going to make God change. Can you say amen? I want you to hear this message in the Bible. The message in the Bible says it just as plain as I'm saying it. And let me put it. I don't think I have it, but go to the Message Bible. I forgot to put it up. I don't know if they have time back there. If Alina can get the Message Bible and put up Romans 11 and verse number 29, and put it up in the Message MSG translation. But I'm going to read it to you. If she finds it, she'll put it up. But this is how it reads, Tracy. It says, God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty. Never canceled, never rescinded. I'm going to read it one more time. God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty. Not limited warranty. Full warranty. Is that what you all's Message translation say? If you're looking under the Message translation of the Bible, not King James, not NIV. God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty. Never canceled, never rescinded. Full warranty. Never canceled, never rescinded. If you don't believe God, ask Noah. And Noah tell you you can't get drunk enough for him to rescind it. And then ask Lot, Abraham's nephew. He'll tell you you can't have a longing for wanting to turn up and party enough for God to rescind his call. When God has called you, he has called you. When God has blessed you, he has blessed you. Who can declare right now, I'm blessed? Why? Because God blessed me. Huh? You don't have to worry about him changing his call. You don't have to worry about him rescinding his blessings. Oftentimes, our concepts of God has been watered down because of our relationship with men. That's why God had to make it clear in the Bible text. I am not a man that I should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If I said it, I'm going to do it. If I spoke it, it's going to come to pass. Oftentimes, our concepts of God is that because someone in relationship is not loyal to you, then you don't think that God is faithful. Now, I know word on the streets and word out there is ain't nobody loyal no more. And that may be ever true. But there's one thing about it. God is still faithful. And he will remain faithful. Say this, regardless to what I do, God remains faithful. Carry that on. Regardless to where I go, God remains faithful. Regardless to what I say, regardless to where I am, regardless to who I'm around. Go ahead, play it through. God, you're still faithful. Come on, play that through. God, you're still faithful. Regardless, God, you're still faithful. The very attribute of God being faithful doesn't make God who he is. God being faithful makes faithfulness what it is. But you have to remember that he's going to chastise you. Huh? And he's going to chastise you in your own circumstances, but he's not going to change his mind. That's what he says to Israel. I'm going to chastise you. I'm not saying that you're not going to be punished. Huh? For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Right? But he will chasten you before he change himself. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you how mama put it. I'm doing this because I love you. I'm punishing you. I'm whipping you, whatever it is. Now, we couldn't, come on, you all, be for real. We couldn't bring that into, that didn't make sense at all. If you love me, why would you do this? Why? Because, and I like what you said. Why would you want to hurt me? I'm doing this so that you don't hurt yourself. Because the chastening of God is minimal to some punishment that the world places on you. Y'all not hearing this. So you can already hear it that the meat of my message today is about a God. Now let me give you the word that is used. When I say God is omnipresent, that means that God is what? Everywhere. When I say God is omnipotent, that means that he's what? All powerful. Right? If he's omniscient, that means that he is all knowing. Omnipresent, everywhere. Omnipotent, all powerful. Omniscient, he's everywhere. Now, what's the word for God who never changed? It's called immutable. Immutable. It means that God does not mutate. Huh? He is a mutable God. And then the last one, of course, is he's an aseid God, which simply means that he's God all by himself. But I just want to zero in on him being an immutable God. What does that mean? He never changes. He's an immutable God. What does that mean? He never changes. He will not evolve himself. There is no evolution to God because he cannot evolve. He cannot and he will not mutate into something else. Y'all not hearing me now. Let me put it this way to you. When I say God is immutable, then you say back to me, God can't grow. God is immutable. Because if God could grow, growth is mutation. It means that he's changing. God is immutable. And what do you say back? God can't grow. Huh? Isn't that something? Growth is mutation. Not only can God not grow, but when I say God cannot diminish, then I tell you that he is and never was. Ooh, God. Now, I want you to say that back to me. When I say God cannot diminish, you say he is and he never was. God cannot diminish.
He is and he never was.
Why? Because he always is. And never. Because if he was, that means that he is mutating. He's changing. I hope I'm in here today. God cannot grow and God cannot diminish. Because he cannot mutate. He cannot change. If God could become a was, then that means he has diminished. If he become a was, that means he has reduced himself. I was a child. Huh? But I mutated. And I became a man. God never was. He always. Somebody needs to lift a hand and say he is right now. In all of my circumstances, God hadn't gotten little. God don't have to get big. I would that I had somebody here this morning that just love on him for a few moments and just say, God, you are right now in the midst of all of my circumstances. Even if the whole world goes to hell, he's still God. Huh? If everybody busts hell wide open, guess what? He's still God. He cannot be reduced. He cannot be increased. He cannot be reduced. He cannot be increased. He is. He never was. He cannot grow. He cannot diminish. And the last thing is time will not change God. Huh? Why? Because he is eternal. That's one of the greatest attributes of being immutable, is because time does not change him. You're gonna grow old, but God will not. Time is going to affect you, but time does not affect God. Why? Because God is immutable. Are y'all hearing me here today? God is immutable. God will not change by your circumstances. And while everything around you is changing, somebody say it's changing. God is not changed by your circumstances. You've had some ups, but God is still God. You've had some downs, but God is still God. You gotta hear at your lowest moment God saying, I'm still God. Even though you're having a bad moment, even though you're hurting in your body, God is still declaring, even in the pain, I'm still God. Your attributes are going to diminish, but God cannot diminish. Huh?
You don't believe your attributes will diminish? Then what you doing with those glasses on? You don't believe that your attributes will diminish? Why you got them plastic teeth in your mouth? Because what was is not anymore. And while you are diminishing, God is not changing. That's why you got that piece in your hair. It's because you are diminishing. That's why you have to put protein in your scalp. It's because you are diminishing. That's because you've got a lot of things that were that are not anymore. But while all of that's going on, God never changes. You don't get around like you used to. That don't mean that God has changed. This hurt, that hurt, everything hurt. But God never changes. Am I here? Whatever God was, somebody help me say he is. Why? Because he's an immutable God. He never changes. And if God does not change, then guess what that means? The path that God set me on and the destination that he set for me is still my destination. Sometimes I may feel like I'm not going to make it. Let me tell y'all something. When I was coming up, I was pressing so hard to make sure that I went to heaven, because they put so much emphasis on hell. But what they never told me about was God's grace and how it encompasses his love. And in his love is the greatest attribute that there ever is, and that is that God never changes. So when he saved me for good. And my destination remains the same. Now, I've made some turns and I did some things that may have made you think that I wasn't going to make it, but my destination has always been the same. I will be eternal with God. I am eternal with God. Are y'all hearing me now? Now, that brings me down to Job in my clothes. And when I get to Job, that's what I really wanted to put so much on, because I like Job in his circumstances is because he was surrounded by people like we are. Let me call them BFFs. I think that's best friends what? Forever. That's what I thought. Best friends forever. One of them named Bildad, another named Zophar. And he has these friends that I call faulty friends, is because they were close to Job as long as Job was faring well. And when you look in the book of Job, you'll discover that the first couple of chapters, you see him going through his list of circumstances. Children dying. His economic, financial strength diminishes. His wife, she's concerned. Job loses essentially everything that he had. But then when you get past the first couple of chapters, you're introduced to Job's friends. Three friends: Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. You may not remember the names, but there were three of them. Now, when they see Job's circumstance, they read it like they see it. Man, you messed up. First two chapters, Job was a righteous and upright man. That's what we read. He shunned evil. All Job knew was to do right. But then here is this upright, upstanding man going through nothing but pure hell. Health failing, family failing, finances failing. Every aspect of his life is on a downturn. But it's still declared at the beginning that Job was a righteous man. Now, come on, let's ask the question.
why can something so bad happen to somebody that is obviously so good? Now, when you have to deal with something by yourself, it's one thing, but when you have to deal with something and you've got people around you with opinions, when you have people around you with their idea of what's wrong with you, it can make you think that God is changing. I'm talking now. It's really not you, but it's those around you that's making you start feeling like, God, I think you're changing your mind about me. Let me dig in a little bit. Eliphaz, Zophar, and Bildad, man, they lit in so hard on Job. One after another, they said, man, you know you sinned. That's why you're going through. Man, you know the reason that you have cancer in your skin. That's all I can call it, because it just started falling from his bones. I don't know, psoriasis, but certainly was cancerous because it was so malignant that it didn't stop until Job was just standing there scraping his skin off, and he looked down and there was nothing but a pile of ashes that was made of his skin. Only time we see our skin like that is when we have to dust, and we never even knew that it left our bodies. That's all dust is just dead skin. But Job's came off exponentially, just quickly, rapidly. And he's standing in the ashes. And his friend said, Job, man, go on, fess up. You know God's dealing with you because of what you did. Now, I don't know why Job never asked them, because I would have had to ask them, what is it that you think I've done? Well, people don't need to know what you did. They just look at your circumstance and read it. Well, you ain't going through this for nothing. As a matter of fact, I think it was Bildad that said, God wouldn't be punishing you for naught. He wouldn't be doing this for nothing. Huh? I'm reading the circumstances. I'm telling you that the reason that you can't better yourself in life, the reason that every job you get, it don't get you any farther, is because, you know, God just, he's rescinding. He's taking away. He's subtracting. He's taking away. The reason that you can't get a positive relationship, people around you will make you think there's something wrong with you. Marriage has failed, they'll make you think there's something wrong with you. Well, if you do right. It's only those best friends forever that will take every moment that they have to point a finger at you. I'm preaching this morning. See, they're in your space where others are not. Because if anybody else point their finger at you, you'll tell them, get your finger out of my face. But those BFFs, they can do it to us. They can get where other people. Come on, I'm talking good. They know you. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, man, they dug into Job from chapter 3 all the way over to chapter 12. They took their time. You ought to read it sometime. Man, they spelled it out. They went into detail. Looking at Job's circumstances as though God now has rescinded his call. God was the one that said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He's an upright man. Now that's a call. He shuns evil. That's a gift. That's what God said about Job. Now, let me just say for the moment, for the sake of argument as I close, maybe friends are not doing it to you, but you're doing it to your own self and your own mindset. God, I think you punished me. I think my circumstances are like they are is because I'm, and now you're running around trying to figure it out. What is it that I did? God, what is it? What is it? What is it? And you're thinking that God is changing his mind about what he did for you, what he called you to do, what he gifted you to do. But Job opened up in chapter number 12 and he said, guess what, you all? Y'all ready for this? Now listen good. And this is where the Spirit of God kicks into Job. You all are not wiser than I am. Ooh, I like that. Job got with him. And he said, you all are not wiser than I am. And the reason that I think that he said this, Kamisha, is because he had the wisdom to take what they were saying and go to God and say, God, what do you have to say? That's wisdom, Tracy. When you take what's happening to you and you go to God with it and say, but God, what do you have to say about what's happening to me? You got some sickness and you can't explain it. You don't understand why it's going on. You go to God. God, you tell me what this is. I had to tell someone very close to me this past week. They declined the doctor's diagnosis about cancer and told the doctor that God said, no, there is no cancer. But the doctor turned back and said, but God told me it is. I had to tell them, guess what? Yes, the doctor could have been told by God it is cancer. And then he can go and take it in a laboratory and come back out and show you that it's truly cancer. Now, let me tell you what that's going to do for you who said God said it's not cancer. That's going to break your spirit because now you're going to think that God failed you. What you need to do is this, is you need to say, God, even if it is cancer, you are still God. Let me tell y'all what God can do. God can make you healthier with cancer than somebody without it. I'm gonna let you work on that. God can have you doing better with nothing than somebody who has everything. He don't have to make you rich to cause you to have royalty. Not in money. Are y'all hearing me? He doesn't have to do that. What we have to know is, whatever the circumstance, God is still there. And if God is still there, my destination is still the same. I'm going where the righteous go, is what Job says. Why? Because God called me righteous. He's the one that said, I shun evil. I need y'all to come to your feet this morning. The reason my destination remains the same is because I have made the declaration that Job made. I'm not going to lie. I'm having a tough time. I'm not going to be in denial. I'm having some trouble times. I'm just like Job now. Sometimes the enemy comes in and he slays you. He slices you. Come on, somebody. The people around you don't even know what's going on, but oh, somebody say it's happening. You see, you don't always show on the outside what's really going on the inside. And on the inside, there is some tumultuous effects of life that's pressing against you. Evolutions, revolutions of things going wrong, your mind playing tricks on you. But Job said, though my enemies may slay me. Somebody say, it's happening for real. You don't have to be in denial. God is still God all by himself. You don't have to be in denial about it. At the same time, you don't have to get up and get on the dance floor and tell everybody it's going on. But what you do need to know in yourself is, though I'm going through, I'm just like Job now, yet will I trust in an unchanging, always powerful, miraculous, glorious. Do you hear me here today? My destination is still the same. Tell somebody it has not changed. Kamisha, you need to hear what I'm telling you today. Just because of what Ross goes through doesn't have anything to do with what God is bringing you to. A lot of time, what you go through does not dictate and determine
the destination because it has already been set by God. Somebody ought to declare today, not I'm going to be happy, I am happy. By virtue of this message, I can declare over myself, I'm a happy child. Because God never changed. My circumstance is not going to dictate to me that I ought to have a frown on my face. I ought to get happy right now. Somebody don't shout until they start saying, I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. I just thank God and I shout. Huh? I don't need church is good and y'all keep having it. Here y'all keep having it. But y'all need to know I don't need no audience. Oh Lord, I just don't. Lord, because I can hear music. Uh-huh. And there is something about it that just makes me move. And let me put it this way, and I'm finished with y'all, I promise. But I don't think I want to walk to my destination. I think given that God made me feel like he made me feel, I think I'm just going to dance. I think I feel like, excuse me, and you know, Job embarrassed his wife, and there are going to probably be some times that I embarrass you maybe because sometimes I feel like I'm just going to dance all the way in it. And I'm not a dancer, but walking just ain't sufficing. I've got to give him all that I got. Come on, somebody. I want you to raise those hands today and say, God, I can't raise them high enough. Come on, Lord, I can't yell loud enough. So I ain't going to even yell, but I want you to know, Lord, that if I lift my voices to its full potential, I couldn't get loud enough to say that you're a good God, you're an awesome God, and go ahead and let him know that now I know you never change. Come on, tell him, God, you never change. As a matter of fact, you never have. Forgive me, God, for I at some point thought that you had changed your mind about me because of what I'm going through. But you have always been right there all the time. Come on, go ahead and tell him you never was because you is. I know that sounds like some bad English, but God is. God is. Let's say it this way. God is. And he never was. He always is and never was. And God, forgive me right now if I ever thought because of that sickness that was in my body and what I was going through, that I thought that you had changed your mind about me. I was wrong, because you never change, and my circumstances will not change you. I'm just like Job now, though I'm standing in the ashes and the enemy is slaying me, yet will I trust. Yet will I trust. Yet will I trust in the Lord. Come on and clap your hands. Come on and clap your hands. Hallelujah. 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 Yes to your will, God. Yes to your way. Yes, Lord, you never change. You never change. You never change. You never change. And my destination. Do you feel that today? It remains the same. I had to grab that because sometimes you think that, oh well, maybe it wasn't intended for me. Somebody think that it's never going to become that. Can I go to the caterpillar? I just don't get it. Ugly, nasty, furry, just icky. And I've noticed something about butterflies. Why is it that they're so unafraid? They'll just come. I had one the other day that I kept moving my arm. I move it, and everywhere I go, he just finds his way, just get on. I just finally looked at him and I said, you want that arm, just you go in. You just have it. The Lord is saying to me, this is how I am with you. I'm always, and even sometimes when you try to shoot me away, but I'm always right there. And then I said, hey mama, hey daddy, hey Zach, hey, all of those people that I love, they saying I'm still here. I'm going nowhere. I'm still right here. Somebody say my destination is still the same. My destination is still the same. You can be seated in the presence of God. You can be seated in the presence of God. I love him today. How about you? Hope you've been blessed by the message. I hope that it has been something that has helped you and will help you along the way. I want that to play over like a broken record. If you forget that word, immutable, you won't forget this. God never changes. Thank you for the intro, Eddie, and your exhortation this morning when you said it. Okay, God, dropped it right there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, now let's get in the spirit of giving. I want to send some prayers out today. I want you to go back and make sure you read that scripture in the Message Bible. They weren't able to get it up. They had some technical issues back there, and it wasn't put in the preview slides. But you read that Romans 11 and 29 in the Message. If you didn't have it, get it. Read it in the Message translation. Now, we're going to be praying for Chris this morning. The surgery was successful. Amen. Thank God for that. And we're saying to him, get well, soldier. Hua. Be well. And to Fakita that's standing by his side, you be encouraged. If y'all listening this morning, be strong. My father-in-law in Anniston, you be strong. God never changes. And he doesn't have to change your circumstance to be God either. He can be God in your circumstance. He can be that in your circumstance. The only reason you don't run out is because God don't run out. Okay, that's the way. He didn't say you wasn't going to get low, but you ain't going to run out. Woman with the issue of blood never ran out. So just know that about your circumstance. God never changes in that he's going to do for you. Now let's get in the spirit of giving. I want everybody that's able and capable today, and God have blessed you with the resources to do it, either here in person or online, I want you to give something today. Don't know how to do it? Text in the chat. Tracy is standing by. Taffany is standing by. They'll show you how to do it. They'll tell you how to do it. So what I need you to do is just want to do it, and then they'll point you the way to getting that done. And I want you to give something today, everybody, because I want you to create a path to be financially blessed through your giving. Talk to people to tell them. They know that I don't teach a whole bunch, especially publicly, about tithing. I do it more on a personal, one-on-one basis about helping people in their financial endeavors. We have people that give in first fruit. Many give in tithing. And they find these places where they can build a path in their finances, and that's what you ought to do. You need to build a pathway for that. The government can get you hoodwinked on thinking that it will service you as a benefit, but you need to see God about that. Amen.
So come on now and let's get ready to give in our giving. Amen. And bring it. The text to give number 256-291-0091. Now, when you get in there, you can simply text the number that you want to give, 10.00, that's $10. 100.00 is $100. When you put that amount in, it's going to text immediately back to you and give you further instructions on what you ought to do. Call, text in on the line to Tracy or Taffany, and they'll assist you with getting your giving done. But come on right now, let's give unto the Lord. Let's give unto Him. As God has blessed us, come on and give unto the Lord. You can bring it here, or you can give it as well. Virtually, you can give it online. God bless you. Come on. Bless you. Same time. God bless you, and you have an awesome week in the Lord, because your destination remains.